If you've been looking for a comprehensive Bible school curriculum that explores redemptive realities in Jesus Christ, grounded in the Word of God, look no further. The goal of this podcast is to spread the life-transforming Word of God throughout the world, for the equipping of the saints, to do the work of the ministry, and to build up the body of Christ in what Jesus has accomplished for us through His death, burial, resurrection, and seating at the right hand of God the Father. There's such an untapped potential for Christians to enter into their glorious inheritance in Jesus Christ. Together, we will discover what Jesus has done for us by providing such a great salvation and how to appropriate the promises of God in our lives. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Each podcast season will cover one of the books that I have compiled over the years. You can find a complete listing of my Christian education material on my website at www.wordinspired.com. You're welcome to download these ebooks for free in PDF format for your own personal or ministry use. So let's explore these biblical truths and principles together that will absolutely transform our lives. God bless. Welcome to the Gospel series, The Discourses of Jesus, Salt and Light, referenced in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, Mark 9:50, Luke chapter 14, verse 34 to 35. The theme is make a difference in this world by letting what's on the inside come on the outside. The context, Jesus was teaching a large group of people on a mountainside in the Galilean region. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. A supernatural witness, salt and light, that is what Jesus has called us, all of us, to be in the world. When we cease to be these powerful influences, we have lost our great purpose upon the earth and thus have become irrelevant. Light reveals humanity's great need for Jesus, and salt makes them thirsty to receive him. Being a salt and light certainly includes being moral and upright in character, attitude, and conversation, but it's much more than just that. Even Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and other religious people can portray the same image of uprightness, but they are still going to hell, even with all their good works. Proverbs 14, verse 12. It's the truth of God's word coming out of our mouths, backed up with a godly lifestyle, confirmed with signs and wonders, that sets us apart from all the cults and false religions of the world. Mark 16, verse 20. It takes power evangelism to penetrate the deep darkness of spiritual blindness in this world, ministering with the power of the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how He lived among you for your sake. To be salt and light is to be on the offensive, not the defensive. Being salty is being zealous for God. That does not mean we are turning people off with brash fanaticism. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, 2 Peter 3, 9. We are not ashamed of the gospel. We're bold and fearless in the Lord. Ephesians 6, verse 19 to 20. Philippians 1:14. Like salt and light, the Lord mixes us into this world, society, and culture to influence, infiltrate, and infect them with the love and power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16-17. In ancient times, newborn babies were washed in salt water as an antiseptic. Salt of the earth. All throughout the Bible, we see God's people protected from harm. It's our relationship with God that acts as a preservative, evidence of being a Christian for all those around us. 2 Corinthians 2:14-17. Salt preserves and adds flavor to those things that are rubbed with it. Colossians 4:6. When we rub shoulders with the world, we are to influence them with the love and the word of God. Romans 9:29. It is just as Isaiah said previously, unless the Lord Almighty had left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom and would have been like Gomorrah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was a salt in his generation. Genesis 6, Luke 17:26-27, Hebrews 11:7, 1 Peter 3:18-20, 2 Peter 2:4-9. Remember the story about Abraham's nephew Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah that you can read in Genesis 18:16-33 and Luke 17:28-33? The best thing for any nation is to have as many on fire Christians as possible, which invokes the blessing of God in the land. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. When true Christianity is in operation, light, life, peace, and prosperity prevail to bless and prosper multitudes. It's part of the church's mission to intercede for nations. 1 Timothy 2:1-4, 1 Peter 2:5-9. Remember, Satan is the deceiver and agitator. He wants wars, death, famine, and suffering and conflict. Job 1:6-7, Luke 4:6, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, 2 Thessalonians 2:10, Hebrews 2:14, Revelation 7:1, chapter 20:1-3, and verse 7-8. It is our prayers that is holding back the possibility for even more death. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. At a minimum, Christians can at least act like Christians and be a salt and light to the world. Matthew 5:13-16. 1 Peter 2:11-12, 2 Corinthians 9:13, 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12, 1 Timothy 3:7, and chapter 5:10. Sadly, many out of fear hide their faith in secret and live double lives. That's not a good idea according to Revelation 3:16. God will judge people not merely for doing wrong, but for not doing the right things as well. There is no excuse for doing nothing for God, and not investing His grace into others. James 4:17. So what happens when salt loses its saltiness? Well, it neither preserves or flavors, and has lost its very purpose. It becomes useless, not even good as a fertilizer. Luke 14:34. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, Jesus said, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil, nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 9:50. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with each other. So who is responsible for having salt in themselves? We are. We must stay in close fellowship with the Lord, so He rubs off on us. Hebrews 10:22, James 4:8. Be quick to forgive and quick to repent, according to 1 John 1:9. We lose our flavor or distinctiveness when we become lukewarm, according to Revelation 3:16. Light of the world. Many make reference to Jesus being the light of the world, and rightly so, John 8:12 and chapter 9:5. But Jesus has also made us to be lights as well, to continue His works today. In John 14:12-14, we are chips off the old block, as the old saying goes. That is what being a Christian is all about. Little Christs, being made in His image, we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. Luke 4:17-19, Acts 10:38, 1 John 2:20, 27, and chapter 3:8. Light describes what God's Word does in our lives, according to Proverbs 20:27, Ephesians 1:17-19, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16-17. Psalms 119, verse 130 states, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Light is also used as a figure of speech to represent truth and knowledge. In Psalms 119, verse 130, Ephesians 1:17-18, Titus chapter 1, verse 3, Hebrews 6, verse 4, and chapter 10, verse 32. Many Christians are asleep in the light, oblivious to eternal implications going on around them. We have a tremendous responsibility to be faithful stewards of the truth we have received in order to minister it to others as the Holy Spirit leads us. Luke 12, verse 47-48, Acts 26, verse 18 and verse 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1-7. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 states, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God, small g, of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." The problem with spiritual darkness is that it blinds people from seeing the truth. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8-11. In the natural, without light, we would stumble around in the darkness not knowing where we are. One major consequence to walking in darkness, disobedience to the Lord, is that it blinds folks. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9-11 makes this very point, stumbling around in the darkness. To walk in the light of God's word is to be obedient and in fellowship with God. John chapter 3, verse 19-21, chapter 8, verse 12, chapter 9, verse 4-5, John chapter 12, verse 35-36, Ephesians 5, verse 8-9, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5-7. Walking in the light allows us to see things coming, so we are not taken by surprise. Another analogy can be drawn from people sleeping when it is dark, and awake when it is day. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13-14, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4-8. So the Bible uses light and darkness as metaphors to represent the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Our allegiance to one or the other is demonstrated by our choices and corresponding behavior, and what we do with Jesus. Romans chapter 13, verse 12-13, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12-13, Revelation 3, 15-16. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 8, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus goes on to say, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Failure to do so causes us to lose our purpose and distinctiveness among people. Being a light in the world is having our lives on display, revealing the grace of God in us and walking in the love of God, resulting as a tremendous witnessing tool, adds credibility to the message of the gospel. Acts 20, verse 34-35. Romans chapter 14, verse 16-18, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11-12, Titus chapter 2, verse 9-10, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1-2. So the purpose of light is to benefit others and bring glory to God. 2 Corinthians 9:13 and 1 Peter 2, verse 12. God bless. I highly encourage you to continue listening to the Word of Life Study Series podcast and encourage your friends to tune in as well. The scriptures encourage us in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, to receive the message with great eagerness and to examine the scriptures every day in order to confirm the truth that you're hearing. God's Word is our final authority for all matters that pertain to life and godliness. I'd like to close this episode by praying over you according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when God raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And in chapter 2, verse 6, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Be blessed and see you soon.